Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your promises. And we pray, O Lord, that as we hear them now, we pray that Your words will be living and active in our hearts, encouraging us, strengthening our faith, and showing us the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the words of our God. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have had the privilege of witnessing the baptism of Nico, and it's a wonderful blessing for us to see that we love our children, but so does God. And that is a wonderful blessing for us to be reminded of. and we see the wonderful covenant promises that God has given to all of His people, and not based on us in any way, not even our age. What a blessing that is to know that our God gives us His promises completely independent of us, solely because of His grace and His covenant faithful love. And what a blessing it is to know that the God who made the family is the God who still works in the family. Brothers and sisters, we are a blessed people. And as we have witnessed the sacrament of baptism this morning, what a wonderful truth it is that God in this sacrament is sealing the promises of everlasting life to this child. And He is encouraging all of us as we witness it. Now we want to be clear here that baptism is a sign and a seal. And I want to be as clear as I can on this point. We do not believe in baptismal regeneration or something like that, where we believe, well, you're baptized and so you're born again. No, we don't believe that. We also don't believe, well, if you're baptized, you no longer have original sin. That's taken away. We don't believe that either. So when we talk about the sacrament of baptism as a seal, that does not mean the same thing as the seal in Revelation 7. However, there is a relationship there, and we will get to that in a moment. But before we do, we have to properly understand what it means that in the sacrament of baptism, God's promises are sealed to us. As we read in our baptismal form, in the sacrament of baptism, the promises of God are sealed to us. That means that really and truly, the promises of God are extended to us and offered really and truly to us. But what still needs to happen for that person to be a recipient of those promises? Well, they have to be born again, and they have to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we witness a baptism, we are witnessing the outward administration of the promises of God being sealed to that person. But in order to be saved, there must be an inward working of the Holy Spirit in regenerating that person and giving them saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, when we are reading of the sealed of God, we are reading about those who are not only outwardly sealed with the promises of God, but also inwardly sealed with those promises. Now maybe as I have explained this, you maybe are wondering, well, what is the point of baptism then? It's just a physical sign. What we really need is a baptism of the heart. So what's the point? And I hope in explaining baptism thus far, I have driven you away of thinking too highly of the sacrament, but I certainly don't want you to think too low of it either. This is a divinely sanctioned and commanded sacrament that is given to us for our edification, for our encouragement, and for our comfort. First, looking at this sacrament as at a point of edification. There is in the sign of baptism, whenever we witness it, or whenever we remember it, a call to improve our baptism. As question answer 167 of the Westminster Larger Catechism puts it. And I'll summarize for you what that answer says there in terms of what does it mean to improve our baptism. And it means that we are to remember that we are dead to sin and thus to live no longer in it or walk in it, but we are alive in Christ Jesus and thus are to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Revelation 7 explains edification in a slightly different way, as we read in verse 14, speaking of the ones who are arrayed in white robes, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. The picture in Revelation 7 is of the saints in glory, and that is the vantage point that we have in this passage. We are given a glimpse here by God to look backward, to look from glory back to where we are now, and also to look from where we are now and anticipate what is to come. We are edified as we see that the saints are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. Now that doesn't just refer to the end times before Christ comes again. It refers to our earthly pilgrimage. Life is tribulation. I think you all know that. This life is not easy. There is a lot of challenges in this life. There are lots of pain and suffering and sin and sorrow. But to quote Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Here we are edified to know that our God will not let us go. No matter the tribulation, He will bring us safely to the other side of Jordan. There is helpful motivation here to improve our baptism, that our God will keep us through whatever tribulation life brings. Another way of saying the same thing is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is what? Faithful. He is faithful. He will keep us. We have a good Master. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Would we not run to serve Him with joy and gladness and thanksgiving? I remember bucking hay bales in the field. And you're out there in the summer heat under the sun, and you're working hard, and you're hot, and you're tired, and you're dusty. And you would get to the end of loading this wagon full of bales, and you look forward to the moment. I could still picture it. Remember the moment when my mother would come driving with the farm truck into the field with a cooler full of ice-cold watermelon and water or Gatorade. Nothing encouraged you more to hurry up and get that load done so you could chug back some fluids and eat some all that ice-cold watermelon. Nothing better. But nothing discouraged you more than when she had forgotten the cooler and drove away. And you thought, oh no, I have to start another wagon and I'm dying of thirst here in the wilderness. But thankfully, brothers and sisters, with our God, there is never a moment when He is not there to give us grace. And so we are edified and encouraged with the proper motivation to walk as we have been made to be. For He who promised is faithful. There is also encouragement in baptism. Maybe you're saying there is the encouragement. You're saying, where is the encouragement if it's just an outward sign? For those who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign of baptism is not just a sign and a visible seal, but it is an outward reminder of the spiritual realities that are really yours in Christ. It is a physical reminder that the promises of the washing away of your sins and being dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus, those promises are for you, are given to you, and are enjoyed by you. And so, I ask you this question. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life? Because if you do, brothers and sisters, then all the promises of God are yours. All of them. I know the natural tendency of the human heart, because I have one too. Even though sometimes you might wonder, is he a human or is he a robot? I don't know. But I have one too, believe it or not. And the natural tendency is to say, I must do something. There must be something I can do to make God love me more. Or maybe when something bad happens to you, the question then is, does God love me? Am I His child? Is it because I'm not believing enough? But brothers and sisters, we are encouraged here in this passage and in the sacrament that our God loves us simply because He chose to love us. And nothing because of what was in you or what you would do. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing you can do. Hear me. There's nothing you can do that would make God love you more than He already does. And there's nothing you can do that will make Him love you less. This is the comfort and assurance of every child of God. This is the blessing of knowing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we go forth every single day of our lives knowing with absolute surety that we are loved by God. And loved with a love that is far beyond our finding out. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. so, brothers and sisters, as we see in the sacrament of baptism, your God is clinging to you with His promises. Hold on to Him. In Philippians 3:12, Paul writes, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Have you ever wondered what that really means? What does it mean to lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me? It means that Christ has laid hold of you with the promises of God, namely resurrection life in the context. He's laid hold of you. Brothers and sisters, hold on to that which Christ has already laid hold of you. It's sort of like in Lord of the Rings, where Frodo and Sam are in Mount Doom, and it's not in the book, but in the movie, anyway, Frodo is hanging on to the edge, right? And Sam reaches down to grab him, and he grabs on. And you can see the two arms embrace. And they're holding on to each other. That's a bit of a picture of the Lord coming down and grabbing hold of us. And there is nothing we can do that would make Him let us go. There's nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God. But if God Himself has reached out to you with His promises and the power of His might, would you not grab hold of Him? And enjoy the comfort of knowing the security of His love and the surety of His promises. Christ has laid hold of you with the promises of God. Lay hold of them. Lay hold of that which Christ has already laid hold of you. Back to Revelation 7:14. For those who believe in the Savior, you have had your robes washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Again, Jesus has laid hold of you with the promises of salvation. We have pictured for us in baptism. Lay hold of those promises that have been sealed to you. Clasp the Savior tightly, for He is your cleansing blood and your atoning sacrifice. Children, don't forget the apparent contradiction here. What happens when you get a bloody nose and your blood drips on your white shirt? Is it clean? No, it's stained and dirty. It will stain your clothes. It won't make them clean. So how is it that by washing our robes in Christ's blood, our robes turn white? Well, in order to know the answer, we have to remember what robes and what blood symbolizes in the Bible. Robes were a symbol of who you are. We are all left to ourselves, clothed with our own righteousness. How clean do you think we would be clothed in our own righteousness or goodness, children? Disgusting. To give another analogy of the farm, if you slipped in the poo, what happened to your clothes? burn them, something. They're stained nasty green forever. You're not getting that out. Sin stains all over the place. That's our righteousness. But for those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our robes are washed in the precious blood of Christ. Blood represented the life of a person. And so by Christ's perfect life and by his sacrificial death, paying our penalty, we are washed clean from all of our sin and stains, so that the robes that we wear are whiter than white, which symbolizes that we are perfect and innocent in the sight of God. This is also what is symbolized for us in the sacrament of baptism, that just as water washes dirt away from the body, so the blood of Christ removes from us every stain of sin. I encourage you the next time you take a shower to remember your baptism. Remember that in this life you are constantly needing an outward washing. But remember that you have already received the once for all washing with the blood of Christ. You are clean in his sight. Nico's baptism today edifies us, encourages us, and comforts us as we look to the cleansing that Christ gives to us by his shed blood. Justin and Heidi have the responsibility, as all Christian parents do, to edify, encourage, and comfort their children with these truths. And may we all do so for each other, to the praise of the name of our God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the greatness of your promises to us, and how in every way we have needed saving, you, O Lord, have saved us. You have exalted us to the highest height a creature could be. We have been cleansed with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and adopted into your family, O Lord. As we think upon the life-giving sacrifice of our Lord Jesus and the eternal life that he has obtained for us, may we, O Lord, be edified. Be rightly motivated to serve before your face with joy and gladness, knowing that we have been set free, encouraged with those blessed promises that sin and its curse have no hold on me, for we have been set free. Set free by the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, to walk before your face and live in your presence forever and ever. Oh Lord, please warm our hearts with these encouraging truths. And may we go forth from this place comforted, knowing a little more the greatness of your love and the blessings that are ours in Christ. May we go forth with rejoicing and thanksgiving and hearts full of worship and praise for your name. For you alone, O Lord, our triune God, are worthy of all praise and honor now and forevermore. Amen.